church. Amen. We thank the Lord for them. Hebrews chapter 11. And we are going to begin reading in verse 17. It said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we bow our heads to you today, and God, we just want to praise you for your goodness and your grace toward us. God, we cannot even begin to count our blessings, Lord, that you've given to us. You've been so good. And God, I just pray you'd help us today to understand as we look at this story that your ways are not our ways. Lord, your ways are higher than ours. They're past finding out. And God, that at times you do things that we don't understand. And God, you strengthen our faith through it. God, I pray you'd help us today. I pray our faith would be strengthened and it'd grow. And I pray your presence be here with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me over to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to look at this story today. Genesis chapter 22. You know, we've looked at Abraham and Sarah a couple of weeks now. And by now, if you've been here, you probably kind of know the story that God came and called Abraham to leave his homeland when he was well up in age, and to go to a place that God was going to show him, and that he would make him a great nation. And you know about Sarah. We looked at her last week, how God said he was going to give them a son, and yet they waited and waited and waited for this son to be born. And finally, that son was born, whose name was Isaac. And that's what we're going to look at today, this story, just an unbelievable story, an unbelievable thing to experience. Look at Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 1. It said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering unto one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, it is just a shocking statement. That here is the promised child that Abraham and Sarah have been waiting on for so long, and now God tells Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, your only son, that you love, and I want you to go to Mount Moriah and offer him up, to put him on the altar and kill him, and then set his body on fire as a sacrifice to me. And what I want to say before we even get started today is this, that God at times does things in our lives that we just do not understand, I will tell you that God's ways are above our ways, that God does things in his will and way that, you know, sometimes they even seem outside of the character of God. I got a message on my phone this morning, USA Today update, and said, two people killed and homes destroyed in tornadoes across the Gulf Coast. And that seems against the character of God, does it not? I mean, God, you know, I've been asked a lot of questions as a preacher. Some of them say, if God is a loving God, why would these things happen? Things like that. And God, like I said, sometimes does some things we don't have the answer to. And I know that's tough. As a preacher, I hate to stand up here today and tell you I don't have the answer for something. But God does things sometimes and doesn't give us an answer. He doesn't tell us a why. It just happens. He does have a why. He does have a reason. We just don't know it. And I think you look in verse number 1 and we kind of see the reason he was doing this. It's that after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And God does try our faith. He does put us to the test. He does make us go through some things that will grow our faith and increase our trust in the Lord. And that's what he was doing here to Abraham. You know, these tests that we are going to go through, and by the way, you're going to go through them. If you haven't already went through them, you will go through them. If you walk with God and spend time with him, I want you to know that he will call on you to go through some difficult days. And if you haven't ever been through a difficult day, it is coming. I want you to know. But these tests are and these trials are personal. God said, Abraham. And Abraham said, here am I. He'll do the same thing to your name. He'll say, Derek, I got something for you to do. And I have to be able to say, here I am. What do you have for me? These trials and tests and these difficult things that you will go through will be personal. They will be real. One thing I learned a long time ago preaching is I don't tell anybody what they're going through. It's not a big deal. Amen? Because it's a big deal to them. And they're going through it. And it'll be for you to experience and to go through. And so but they're also purposeful. Don't ever think that the things that you're going through are not for a reason. I seen the other day, I told Laura, somebody had a sign that said, everything happens for a reason. Just sometimes the reason is you've made bad choices. You know that, and that's true in some regards. But everything does have a purpose behind it and a reason, and God is doing something. You know, this was a serious test that God called Abraham to go through. You know, I think sometimes we read the Bible and we read this and we kind of think of it as a fictional tale. But do you know that Abraham was a real person? Just like me and you, he was as real as me and you are. And you know, Abraham loved his son. I mean, he's been waiting on him. Even the Bible even says, God said, take your son, your only son, whom thou lovest. Abraham loved his son. And guess what else Abraham loved? Abraham loved Sarah. And guess who Sarah loved? She loved her son. And now God has asked Abraham to take his only child. And for those of you with children, you understand the implications here. To take your child and to kill your child? What a request. What an unfair thing to ask. And now Abraham has a decision to make. He can either obey God or disobey God. He can either trust God or not trust Him. He can believe Him or not believe Him. This is the choice that Abraham had to do. Trust God or trust his heart and his feelings. I want you to know something about your feelings. They can deceive you. The Bible says this, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And our heart can fool us. It can deceive us. And you can say, well, Brother Derek, I feel this way. Well, sometimes it don't matter how you feel. It does not change the truth of the matter. And sometimes you feel a way that is not truthful. Have you ever felt like everything was against you? Do you know that wasn't true? Everything was not against you. Sometimes we say that. I've had people tell me, they'll say, nothing has went right this week. And I said, my goodness, you're still living and breathing. And it looks like nothing has went right. But we feel that way. But our feelings will lie to you. And so he had to decide, am I going to trust my feelings or am I going to trust what God has asked me to do? And so look at what happened in verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. You know what Abraham did? He just simply obeyed the word of God. God told him to do it. Now here's what Abraham knew. Abraham said this, I do not understand what's going on, but I'm just going to, by faith, trust that God has my best interest at heart. And you know what you and I are going to have to come to some days? We're going to have to say this. I do not know what is going on.
I don't know why this is happening, but I am just going to trust God in it, and I'm going to go on doing what I know to do by faith. That's what this is about, folks. It's about faith. This is about faith. You know what the Bible says here? That this was a 3-day journey. It's easy to say, I'm going to do that, and then you start on a 3-day journey. You know, initial decisions are easy. Have you ever made an initial decision? Yeah, we can do that. And then you get off in it and you go, man, this is more than I thought it was. We're not going to do that. Yeah, let's get on board with that. And then a couple of days later you go, oh, man, it was easy just to say that. Well, that Abraham said, yeah, I'm going to follow you, God. Now it's 3 days. You know what happened on 3 days? Folks, they're riding on donkeys. They're not making top speed here. You know what happened on 3 days? That's 3 days to sit and think. That's 3 days to think about what lies ahead. 3 days to think about at any time when God shows me where I'm supposed to sacrifice my son, I'm going to have to kill my son. 3 days to keep a secret because he didn't tell Isaac what was about to happen. He didn't tell the other guys that was with him what was going on. 3 days. 3 days, and I can imagine as he began to think about it, can you see Abraham riding on that donkey? And he's riding, and Isaac's up there riding beside him. And can you imagine Abraham riding that donkey, and Isaac look over, and there's tears in Abraham's eyes? And Isaac say, what's wrong, Daddy? And he said, oh, nothing. I'm just thinking about something. That's tough. And this was real, folks. This is a real deal. 3 days. Time changes things. And man, he had to go through this thing and this journey. 3 days to doubt. 3 days to change your mind. 3 days to abandon ship. 3 days to do all kinds of things. And I want you to know something. When God calls us to a test and trial, it usually takes time. It's not one day things. It's something that's going to take, and by the way, in most of our lives, it might be weeks, months, years of a trial or something that we're going through and that we're enduring. Look at verse number 5. It said, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I think Abraham was country. He said, they're going off yonder. Yonder. So I asked somebody while the other day, I said, how long did y'all build your house? How long ago did y'all build your house? He said, way long back yonder. I said, what in the world does that mean? I guess that's a long time ago. But it said, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it up on Isaac, his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both of them went together. Now, here's what Abraham did. He just trusted God anyway. The request seemed crazy. He didn't understand it. But he's just trusting God. Now, here's what's going to happen to me and you in our life. There's going to become times in our life where either us or people that we know get sick. And we don't understand why that happens. You know, you get a call and now somebody's sick. And, you know, I think about children. You know, there are people in Memphis, Tennessee today that are at St. Jude with their children that have terminal cancer. Man, I don't understand that. And you don't. Why would God let a little baby get sick? But he does. Why would he let good people, let bad things happen to good people? But it surely does happen. I think we all know that. There's going to be failed relationships in your life. And you'll say, why'd this happen? People that were close to you won't be close anymore. Some of y'all have went through divorces and different things, and I know it's tough, and man, unfair things happen. I got 4 children, and me and Laura talk about it all the time. You know, we talk about how good we got it, you know, and I say, well, our kids ain't grown yet now, Laura. I said, it's good now. We can swing them on a swing and play a little ball and all that, so they're going to get up and make some real decisions one day. And man, it's 4 times more likely for us to experience some heartache, amen, with 4 children. And, I remember it wasn't long ago, I seen a mother ask a son, a grown son, 30 years old. She asked him, she said, they were arguing, and she said this, she said, why are you like this? That's what she said to him. You know, he just doesn't think right, makes bad decisions. He's a burden and a grief to them. And she says, why are you like this? And you know what I bet she's asked God? Why is he like this? Why is he like this? And here's the deal with me and you. We just don't understand. We don't know. That's why it's faith. God doesn't tell us all the answers. He told Abraham, he said, I want you to go to a place I'm going to show you. He told him, I want you to go sacrifice Isaac, and I'm going to show you where to do it. He didn't even tell him all the directions on that. And God does things in our lives that we just flat out don't understand. And we'll ask ourselves that. And you want to know what to do when you don't know what's going on? That'd be a good thing to know, huh? What do you do when you don't know what's going on and you don't know why? You got to do the things that you know to do that are facts that never change. You know what never changes? Ever. The Bible never changes. You know what never changes? Now, this is going to be simple now. This is real simple. But God knows more than me. That ain't going to change tomorrow. I'm not going to get smarter than God tomorrow. He's going to be smarter than me and know more than me. And you know what I got to do? I got to do the things I know to do. Regardless of what's going on around me, regardless of the fact that I don't understand why things are happening, I have to keep doing the things I know to do, which is to stay in the Word, to stay in prayer, and to continue to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Because He's asked me to go through some things. By the way, if God asked you to go through a tough day, why don't you join the crowd of the Bible? I mean, should we be any different? We read a scripture this morning in Sunday school. Paul said, hey, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we've been beaten. People view us as the filth of the world. People revile us. People have put us down. No one likes us. We don't have a home. Then he said this, y'all follow me. I said, what a recruiting tool. Hey, guys, we're going to be beaten and homeless and starved to death. Come on, get on board. But by the way, if we've got on board, then we've got to be willing to follow them through tough times. I think about John the Baptist with his head in the gallows as they're about to chop his head off. I wonder if he said, well, why is this happening? But you know what he did? He just kept on going. He just kept on going. The thing is, we got to keep on going by faith when we don't understand what's happening. Look at verse 7. It said, And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb for a burnt offering? That's got to be a heart-piercing question. Dad, you done forgot something. My goodness, Dad, getting old. You done forgot to bring the lamb. Where's it at? Man, I bet Abraham was just gut-wrenched. Here's the faith of Abraham. Look in verse number 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both up of them together. You know, Abraham didn't know. He didn't know. He just said, I just know God knows more than me, and I'm just going to trust him. Even though this seems crazy. Even though this doesn't seem like what we ought to do. I'm just going to keep on going because I know God is good and He loves me and He's for me. And God's going to provide Himself an answer. You know, I've been asked questions like that. Why would God do this? You know, I've preached a lot of funerals. I've preached funerals of 5-year-old kids. And parents say, why would God do this? I've seen kids born with problems. Why would God do this? And it's tough. I mean, it's tough. But you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to trust Him. To trust Him. It's such an insult when we won't trust Him, isn't it? I mean, He's God. He's infinite. He's omnipresent. He knows everything. He's all powerful. And yet we don't. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to follow Him. You know what God told Abraham at the very beginning?
He said, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. Now, here's what he said. He said, I'm your reward, that you know me and get to have a part in me. And I think here's what he was, here was the test. Now, Abraham, am I your reward or is Isaac your reward? What's the reward here? Who do you love more? You say, that is a terrible statement. Well, Jesus said the same statement in the Gospels. He said, if any man doesn't love me more than their mother and father and sister and brother, he's not worthy of the kingdom. And listen to me, it's not that you ain't supposed to love your children or love your parents. You got to love God more. God wants to be first. God wants to be first. You can love your children with a love that is unimaginable. And you need to love God with a love that is unimaginable. And you need to trust Him and follow Him. You know, I think about, it talks about a childlike faith. A childlike faith. You know, my kids trust me, I mean, really to unhealthy ways. You know what I mean? I mean, my kids would jump off. If I said, hey, come on, jump on down, I'll catch you. They'd haul off. If I'm up there and you tell me you're going to catch me, I'd say, I don't think so. I'm not jumping. But they trust me. They trust me. And we got to trust God in that regard. Trust Him in those ways. Look at, you know, and then sometimes God might call us, listen to me, to let go of some things that are very important to you. To let go of them. I say that about children all the time. Some people don't get this. Do you know what I'm raising my children up to do? I'm raising my children up to leave. We hope they leave, amen. Amen. You know, I mean, I don't want them to leave now, but when they're 30, let's get on out the door. We're raising children up to leave. You know what it's hard for some parents to do? Hard to let go. Hard to let go. That's why some parents bail their kids out till they're 50 years old and do all these things and all that. Can't let them go. Can't trust the Lord. Hey, give them to the Lord. I had some friends when I was, I hung out with some hoodlums. And I remember one of their grandmother, they were raised by their grandparents, and the grandma said, I've given them to the Lord. I mean, there wasn't nothing else she could do with them. She just said, I got to give them to the Lord. I can't. By the way, that's what you got to do. You know, the Bible, y'all ever heard that verse of Scripture says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full. You know, quiver is something that holds arrows in it. A lot of people use that as a verse to have a whole bunch of kids, you know. Some quivers only hold one arrow, amen. So I don't know how big your quiver is. But here's the point. God's calling our children arrows. You know what we do with arrows? We take and we point it at a target. And then what do? Let it go. Let it go. Some of you are going to let go of some things that are very important to you. You know, I talked to Tim Timbrink the other day. He was my roommate in the Air Force. And we both trained to preach same time. And I'm pastor now. He's a missionary in Uruguay. And I was talking to him, and he's down in Uruguay. And we were talking about different things. And, you know, he said that they're renting. And he would like to buy a home in Uruguay. He said, you know, we're going to be down here for 20 or 30 years. We're just going to be throwing money away, renting our whole life. And he said, but here's the deal. He said, because I'm not a citizen of Uruguay, the banks in Uruguay won't give me a loan. He said, and because I'm in Uruguay, the banks in America won't give me a loan. And he said, but I guess I just told the Lord it's just a house. You can handle it. You can do whatever you want to do. But here's my point. You know, home ownership is a big deal to some people. You got to let that go. Don't have a home. Got to rent. Ain't going to be able to just let it go. Ain't going to be able to do it. God might ask you to let some things go. And they're going to be important to you. But you got to let them go for the Lord. And that's what God's asking Abraham to do here. Look in verse number 9. It said, And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Hey, Abraham's committed here. Abraham wasn't just waiting for he wasn't just going along and saying, well, God will change his mind. He took out a knife to kill his son. Abraham is there. Look at what happens in verse 11.
said an angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. I bet Abraham glad he heard that voice. He said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. He said, lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do any harm unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You know, for me and you, though, a lot of us don't have the choice Abraham had for the tough things we got to go. You know what happens to us? Things happen, we got to deal with it. A lot of times we don't even have a choice. If you get a phone call today, say you got terminal cancer, guess what you got to do? You got to deal with it. You don't get a choice. You get a call today, say, hey, so-and-so died in a car wreck. Ain't no choice in the matter. You just got to deal with God. Makes us go through dark valleys. Why does the psalmist say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. The psalmist has been through the valley of the shadow of death, but his eyes are on the Lord. We just got to deal with it. You know, God stopped Abraham, and you know what Abraham did? He passed the test. He passed the test. God wanted to see if he loved him more than anything. God wanted to see if he'd be faithful. Even in the most dire situations, would Abraham be faithful? And he passed the test. I wonder about me and you. I wonder how many of us passed the test. And by the way, this is pretty extreme, would we agree? This is extreme. I wonder how many of us passed. We fail an open book test on the ABCs. I mean, we fail tests that ain't near extreme as this. When God says, man, I put something before you and you didn't come through on the smallest of things. You don't believe me and trust me on the littlest things. Abraham believed me. Abraham, the Bible says this in Hebrews, how we know it. It said that Abraham believed that God would even raise Isaac up from the dead if he killed him. His point was, he said, I know God knows more than me and I'm just going to believe him. Don't fail little bitty tests. Don't fail things that aren't much to them. God calls on us to pass tests, and we need to do it. And you know another good thing about it? Listen to this. The way things seem today and the way they appear are not always the way they're going to end up. Have you ever been in a place where you were like, I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel? I don't see any way out. I don't see any way where this can be good. I only see the bad, and then God turned it around to be good. The Bible says that God works all things for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Not that everything is good, but He'll work it out for the good of them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. You know, I've seen people cured of cancer. I've seen children restored and saved and changed. I've seen God turn terrible things into a blessing. Have you ever heard this saying? It was a blessing in disguise. You ever heard that? Man, it did not look like a blessing. In fact, it looked difficult. It looked terrible, but God turned it around for good. I think about our church. You know, our church building was destroyed during Katrina, and that looked like a curse. Did it not? I mean, it looked like how terrible. But it ended up being a blessing in disguise. We didn't see it then. I wasn't even here, but they didn't see it then. And God turned it around, gave us this building, gave us two buildings, has given us three buildings, and He's done that. And so there'll be stuff like that in your life that go on. And it goes on to say that, you know, He told him that He'd bless him, that He'd be for him. Look in verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. You know, if God never made us experience pain and painful things, our faith would never grow. Our faith would never. That's how our faith grows, by going through tough deals. I don't know if any of y'all follow the stock market. Probably some of y'all saying, absolutely not. But by the way, it's crashing right now. It's going down and down and down. But you know what they say? If it didn't go down, nobody ever have any opportunity to make any gains. You know what's happening as it's going down today? People getting to buy in while it's down. It's going to go back up, and they're going to make some gains. If we never had a tough day, how could our faith ever grow? You know, these are the things that happen in my life. You know, there are things in my life that have happened that I stand before you today, and I still cannot tell you why it happened. I can't tell you why. But you know what I do know? I'm stronger today because of it. I'm stronger today because I came out on the other end. I didn't quit in the midst of it. I didn't abandon ship. I just kept going by faith, not knowing what was ahead, not knowing what was around the corner, not understanding what was going on in the midst of it. But on the other end, God has made me stronger for it. You know, as a pastor of a church, you know, I'm a pastor, and the Bible calls pastors under shepherds. And I care for the sheep. I care for the sheep. And you know, it hurts me when sheep leave the fold. And I don't understand sometimes why they do. I mean, my goodness, I don't get it. But you know what I do? I just keep on rowing. Y'all can fill in the blank, man. I keep rowing the boat. Not knowing what's ahead. Not knowing where we're going. Not knowing what and why and all. You know what'll do you some good today? Just say in your heart today, right now, say, I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to have all the answers. All I got to do is just keep going on by faith, and God will take me where He wants to go. And I'm willing to go wherever He takes me. And that's what we need to do. Amen? Now let's stand together and have a time of invitation.